Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody out. Good to see our visitors. It's always a pleasure. We're going to talk for a while this morning of the Sermon on the Mount as we're continuing our study of the sermon that Jesus gave. And this morning, our study will come from the 6th chapter of Matthew. We'll read verses 19 through 24. This is another one of these things that Jesus talks about in the Sermon of the Mark that gets pretty close to home for some of us here. These are pretty serious words once again, and there's things that we need to study, and there's things we need to understand, and there's priorities that we need to establish. This morning, the portion of the Bible that we're reading and that Jesus is speaking of is speaking about materialism. Things of earth, mammon. It's speaking about our responsibility as a Christian, the righteousness of the kingdom, and our relationship to God. This lesson applies to materialism, and materialism, of course, as we're going to understand, has a definite effect on our relationship with God. I believe this is a lesson of priorities. We have to prioritize the things that we have. We have to prioritize our treasures, but we also always have to keep God first. We've got to keep our priorities straight. And in this passage, Jesus teaches some principles and gives some illustrations which will help us to govern our life. Let's read Matthew 6. We'll start with verse 19, and we'll read through 24, and then we'll go to Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. The Bible says, "Lay up not for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man." Let's pray. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. These are the words that Jesus is speaking here in this Sermon on the Mount. And as we have said, this refers to materialism. It refers to the things that we have, the things that we love, the things that we seek, the things that we want and that we strive to obtain here upon earth. It talks about the treasures that we have on earth and the treasures that we have in heaven. And Jesus has given some directions here as to where our treasures should be and the priorities that we are as we are to establish it to be right and good in our relationship with God. Jesus very plainly says, as he begins his statement, he said, "Do not lay up your treasures upon earth." He goes on to say that moths, which eat and destroy clothing, are prevalent in earth, and they destroy clothing. He said that there is rust that will destroy things, anything that's metal. As soon as it's out, it begins to rust when the elements hit it. And if left alone, metal will rust right back down to where it came from. Material things are perishable. It's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He said, don't lay up your treasures here upon earth because they will decay and they will become destroyed. He said, thieves break through and steal things that you have here upon the earth. And of course, we insure our possessions. We protect our investments. We secure the things that we have. But there is absolutely nothing that is safe in this world that a thief that wants it cannot get it. Jesus said, don't put your treasures. Don't build your treasuries on earth because there are those that have the ability and the desire to steal. But he said, instead, put your treasures in heaven. He said, look at things from a spiritual standpoint instead of a physical standpoint. Because he said, there are no moths in heaven that destroy. There is no rust in heaven that will destroy the things and the treasures that we have. There are no thieves in heaven. No thief is going to break into heaven and steal the things that are in our spiritual account in heaven. 1 Peter 1 and 4 said that we have an inheritance there that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, that is reserved for you in heaven. Jesus said, don't put your treasures and put your faith and your trust in the treasures upon earth, but put your trust in the treasures that you build in heaven. And then he tells us why. He said, because where your treasure is, there will your heart, this means your affections, your hopes, your dreams, your desires, the thing that you work for, where your heart is, there is where your treasures will be. And Jesus said, if your treasures, if you've worked all of your life and worked hard upon earth to build up treasures and a massive bank account or wealth on earth, that's going to have to, you're going to be disappointed because these things are going to decay and they're going to rust and people are going to steal them. They're not going to last forever. And if they should happen to last until the end of the world comes, he said everything upon this earth is going to be burned up by a great fire. God's going to destroy this earth. There's not going to be anything left but ashes. Maybe not even ashes. He's going to destroy them with a great fire. Nothing upon this earth will remain. It's all going to be destroyed. So Jesus says where your heart is, there your treasure's going to be, making reference to the point in this lesson that he's teaching is that instead of building your treasures up on earth where they can be destroyed, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to lose them, build your treasures in heaven because they will last forever. Everything that we have on this earth can be gone and can be gone immediately. Whether it be through decay, or whether it be through rot, whether it be through death. Or as I began to put this together, I thought of a statement that my old Grandma Starkey told me back in her declining years. We lose things through old age. Because Grandma Starkey told me one time, she said, as I've got older, she said, things that used to be very, very important, she said, they're just not important at all. I'm pushing 70 and I'm beginning to see what Grandma was talking about. Even old age can cause things, our treasures upon earth, to not be what we once thought that they should be. But treasures are to be built in heaven. And if we build our treasures in heaven, then we're not going to suffer great disappointments here on earth when things of earthly nature are lost. When things are when there are things that disrupt and destroy, and things happen in the earth, there are catastrophes. But if our treasures are not here, it's not going to bother us. Our treasures are incorruptible, undefiled, and do not fade away. Nothing can take our heavenly treasures away from us. Because Peter said they were reserved in heaven for you, kept safe for us by the power of God through faith. So he's saying, build your heavenly bank account. Put your treasures in spiritual things. Put your treasures in heaven and not on earth. When treasures are laid up in heaven, the things that happen on earth will not devastate us. He speaks and gives us an example of this in the 7th chapter of Matthew, verse 24 through 27, that pretty well just illustrates this and brings this point out. And he speaks of the two builders that build a house. And it said that one built his house upon the rock. He had a good strong foundation to build upon. And when the storms of life came, it blew against the house, but the house stood because it was built on a good foundation. But he said the unwise man built his house upon the sand. And when the storms blew and the storms came, as they knew that they would, that this house, because there was no foundation, the house blew away with the sand. And when Jesus gave these words, and when we apply these words, we're told to build upon a good, strong foundation, to be wise in our building instead of being foolish as a man that built on sand, because the storms of life cannot overwhelm us if we have a foundation. Jesus is saying, build up your spiritual accounts in heaven, put your treasures in heaven where they will stand the test of time and will not be blown away. So the question now, how do we build a spiritual treasure in heaven? How do we open a heavenly bank account? How do we put money, or how do we put treasures into our bank account, and how can we build interest in this bank account, and how can one day we cash this account in and get the profits? Well, the Bible also tells us this. By becoming children of God, by becoming part of the inheritance of God, becoming part of the family, which is the kingdom, which is the church, we can become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In other words, we need to obey the gospel. If we obey the gospel that Jesus gave us, we can become part of the kingdom. We will be added to the kingdom, as Acts 2 tells us. This means hearing the word, believing the word, repenting of past life and past sins, confessing the name of Jesus, his deity, and being baptized to be put into the kingdom for the remission of sins. Then we've opened up an account in heaven. We've opened up a spiritual bank account that we can add our money to, and someday we can enjoy the interest of it. By material wealth, then we're to take that, after becoming a member of the kingdom, then we're to take the material wealth that Jesus has given us, that God has allowed us to enjoy, and use this to help those that are in need, to share our wealth with those that are in need. We've got an example of this too. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, when he said that Jews came from all over the world, some of them were from hundreds and hundreds of miles away, and Jesus had just been crucified, and Peter gives this big lesson in Acts 2, and it says that thousands of people were baptized, believing that they had crucified the Savior for the remission of their sins. These people didn't leave and go home. They stayed to see what they were going to learn, to understand what Jesus wanted them to know of, the apostles wanted them to know about this new kingdom of Jesus. And they were destitute. They had no work. There was no place to stay. They had no homes. So the Christians in Jerusalem got together. They sold possessions. They put the money in a common pot. They then were able to take out of the common pot and they give to these people to provide for their needs of the day. The example that they have given us is one of taking that we have been given in excess and sharing with those that are in need. The rich young ruler, in Matthew 19 and 21, Jesus said, if you want to have treasure in heaven, you need to sell what you have and give to the poor. The rich young ruler walked away because he couldn't do it. Jesus speaks to his disciples in Luke 12, 33, 34. You want a treasure in heaven that does not fall, it fails? And sell what you have and give alms. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. He said, Timothy, to the people that you have, he said, charge those that are rich in this present age that they be not high-minded or trust in uncertain riches. These are earth riches upon earth. But in the living God, that spiritual bank account we've been speaking about, that they may be storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The importance of generosity, the importance of giving, the importance of sharing what we have to those that are in need is something that Jesus is teaching here, and it's something that Jesus uses in this sermon. He goes on then to the 22nd and 23rd verse where he says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is using metaphors here. He's using metaphors so that he might make a point to these people so that they could understand it. He speaks of their body, representing the soul of man, the inner body, the heart, the intent of man. He talks about the eye, which is that the gaze of the soul, what the soul is looking for, what makes the soul happy. He uses the word good, a word which means simple or single, uncomplicated. He uses the word bad, which means wicked, which means evil. When we move over to Matthew 20 and 15, the word evil eye is used. This means someone that is envious or someone that is covetous. Jesus has given all of these words, the words to be defined that are understood, and then upon these words and this description, he bases His thoughts. He says, if the heart or the gaze of the soul, what the heart wants, what the heart desires, what our efforts are extended to being able to obtain, if this gaze of the soul be single in its love of God and the things of God, he said that the body's going to be filled with light. That there's going to be goodness and there's going to be righteousness and there's going to be truth in this individual. Ephesians 5 and 10 said, walk as children of light. If the mind is focused upon God and spiritual things, if our account, our treasures are in heaven, then it's going to be a body that is good and righteous and truthfulness. It's going to be one that is pleasing unto God. Then he says, but if the heart or the gaze of the soul be evil, envious, covetous, then this soul is not filled with light, but this soul is in fact filled with darkness. And the opposite of light is dark. The opposite of selfishness is selflessness. The opposite of wickedness is good. The opposite of lies is true. So he said, if the light is good, then the body is good. If the eye is dark, then the body is evil. He gives us another example of this, to kind of make this illustration to make his point. He gives us an illustration in Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. This is the parable of the rich man. And the need of the rich had toward God, and the importance of priority, and the not being covetous of the things we own. As we go and read about this rich man in Luke 12, we find a man that God has greatly blessed. And he makes a statement, I've been greatly blessed. I have great wealth. I have great crops. It's been a wonderful year. So what does he say? He said, I'm going to pull down all of my existing barns, and I'm going to build bigger and greater and stronger barns, and then I can put all of the goods that I possess and all of these wonderful things and this wealth that I have, I'll be able to put it into these barns and protect them and secure them. And said, then I can kind of set back, put my feet up, and take life easy because I've got so much wealth. But God had a little different idea in this illustration because it says in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? In other words, God gave it to him. He had a decision to make then of how he was going to prioritize these things, what he was going to do with these things, and how he was going to use these things. He chose the selfish, greedy, covetous way. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. What we're hearing, what we are understanding here, what Christ is teaching here, is that we cannot allow anything to be more important to us than God. And God will win. I like the way Jesus said it when he's talking to Saul of Tarsus in Acts 8 and 5. Saul of Tarsus had been struck down on the road to Damascus, and he knew exactly who had struck him down. And that's what Jesus said. He said to Saul, Saul, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest or prosecutest. He said, it is hard, Saul, for you to kick against the pricks. I just like the way that sounds. Jesus is saying, Saul, you've been fighting me. You've been against my people. You've done everything to beat me, to try to defeat me. He said, you can't do it. You can't win. You can't beat me. You cannot fight against the Godhead and win. And Jesus is saying, do what I tell you to do. You can win. If you do what I've not told you to do, you're going to lose. That's not profitable, Paul, Saul, to kick against the pricks. We cannot make things of material treasure the most important part of our life. And then he says in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. To define the words used here, Jesus is speech as a master can be defined as one that requires total loyalty. This is certainly true when we're speaking about the loyalty that we have to God as our master. Exodus 34 and 14, God said, thou shalt worship no other God but me, and I am a jealous God. Mammon is an Arabic term which refers to one that is wealthy or prosperous. And it says when wealth is coveted and becomes the priority of our life, then it's become a false god. It's become idol worship. We are worshiping what we have here on earth instead of worshiping that jealous God that God says, you put no one before me. So the question is, shall we worship the one true God and put our treasures in heaven, or shall we worship as the idolaters after a false god? Covetous is defined as to desire longingly, to desire wrongly, and to wish for eagerly. When we are covetous for things, when we are so focused on the things of the earth and the treasures that we can put up, then this becomes our God. This becomes our idol. Jesus is teaching to choose God because mammon, things of the world, riches or material wealth, is going to decay and it's going to be stolen. And in the meantime, it's going to make us blind and selfish creatures. It's going to alienate us with God. So he said, put your treasures in heaven. Do what God has told you to do. Put your treasures where they're secure, where they're protected. And in the then you will, as a consequence, will become a person that is kind and righteous. The type of person that God's want. Jesus is teaching us here, trust God. And that is the theme throughout the entire Bible. Trust God, not wealth. Let's conclude this and kind of pull this up so we can end it. We're all humans, every one of us. And we all worry. Worry is human nature. I'm probably one of the biggest worriers around. Because I worry about things that have no reason to worry about, but I worry about it. I got 6 kids that's going to be calling on an airplane to go to San Francisco tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you what, this is going to be a week I won't sleep well. Because nothing I can do about it. I want them to go. I think it's wonderful. I want them to go out there. I want them to see. But I'm going to worry about it. Every time Paul tells me I'm going to Tulsa or I'm going to Austin or I'm going to Dallas, he doesn't have to tell me why. I know why he's going there. We worry. It's part of life. It's part of our nature. We worry about a job. We worry about the money that's going to be left at the end of the month. When we were young and my kids were home and I worked for myself and if there was no work, there was no food, I worried about food. I worried about water. I worried about clothes. I worried about the things that was necessary for life. There's people in this world that have focused their life on the building of treasures. They worry about the stock market because their life is very closely tied to the stock market. We can't forget the difference between basic needs and wants. And that's the point. We must prioritize. We can build wealth and we can trust in it. And that's where it becomes wrong. It doesn't say that it's wrong to be wealthy. The Bible does not say that a wealthy man cannot be saved, but it talks about a camel in the eye of the needle. It becomes very difficult. But it is priority of keeping our wealth where it belongs, using our wealth for good things, and remembering that God is the one that we are interested in, that we must follow. I found this quote here. I thought this perfectly illustrates what I'm trying to say. People sometimes forget what is needs and what is wants, what is necessary and what is excess. And I found this quote. I thought this is perfect. This tells it just exactly like it is. It said, in Hollywood, California, there is a very exclusive school, which means very expensive school, that is attended by children of movie stars, of producers, and directors. It costs a fortune to go to this school. It said these children, therefore, come from very wealthy families. Only the wealthy can go here. And it said that when asked to write an essay on the subject of poverty, one little girl started her composition in this way. Once there was a poor little girl. Her father was poor. Her mother was poor. And then she continues. Her governess was poor. Her nanny was poor. Her chauffeur was poor. Her butler was poor. Her cook was poor. In fact, everyone in this house was very, very poor. Priorities. Priorities. Are we worried about our treasures? Or are we worried about our basic needs? Well, there's no reason to worry about basic needs because God has promised to meet our basic needs. But God also says you're going to have to be willing to part with your treasures and to give away your treasures because that's going to prove who you really love and who you really worship. The extras, these things of access, God said be satisfied with the basics and not with the wants. What's your true treasure? I guess that's the question that we need to ask now after we've read what Jesus has said. What is our true treasure? Is our treasure God? Or is it the earthly treasures that we have built up and that we have so much a love for and dependence on? Jesus tells us to get our hearts on the correct path, prioritize, and keep God first. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Matthew 6. Verses 33 and 34. The cure to treasuring things is to seek something different. To treasure Jesus, to treasure His gospel, to treasure things of a spiritual nature. Put our treasures in heaven where they're safe and not on earth where they're eventually all going to be burned up. Let's have a song of invitation. We can help you in any way. Come forward as we sing.